Grace and peace be multiplied unto you from God our Father, from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God I would lay on your hearts today comes from the first chapter of 1 Corinthians, verses 1 through 9 as follows. Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother, to the church of God which is at Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all who in every place call on the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given to you by Christ Jesus, that you were enriched in everything by him in all utterance and all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come short in no gift, eagerly waiting for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will also confirm you to the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. So far the Holy Word. Dear friends in Christ, fellow redeemed. It was in my high school literature class that I finally got, or at least the teacher got through to me, on how to read a story in literature and be able to give a decent assignment back to the teacher that explains the story, to be able to write about that story. Now, not just reading it, comprehending it, but then being able to put into words whatever story it was, usually the life of some person, something that somebody had done. And it was this simple formula. He said, just ask yourself these questions. Who, what, where, when, how, and why. Now you know what it's like. You're trying to write, and you just, nothing comes to you. You hit writer's block, or whatever they call it. Ask yourself a question. Who, what, where, how, why. Wow, that just opened it up for me. So I was actually able to hand in an assignment and get a passing grade. I was able to write about someone's life and show that I understood it. Paul here in these verses uses your Lord Jesus Christ's name 8 times in 9 verses. 8 times. What's interesting to note, and he does that, so that he can intricately connect you and your life with the life of your Savior. And when that happens, where does the I go? The ego goes away. Because everything is from God to you. It's what he has done through his Son, out of love for you. So here we are in our lives. Our story is being written, isn't it? If someone were to write about your life, and they ask themselves those questions, who, what, where, when, how, why, what would they write? Well, here in our text, we're using the theme, Paul answers life's 3 important questions. First one, who am I? The second one, why am I here? And the third one, where am I going? You'd agree. Those are all vital, important questions for each one of our lives. But what Paul's trying to remind us here is that all of our lives, who I am, where, why I'm here and where I'm going, that's all tied up with Jesus Christ and his plan for me, his plan for you. It's important to be able to answer those questions, whether or not you're a young person and still in school, or you're middle-aged, working your way through life. Sometimes we end up asking ourselves the simple question, who am I? Why am I here? Where am I going? These questions can, without Christ in our life, lead us to despair. But with Christ, Paul tells us, it gives us definite direction, definite answers. The first one, who am I? Paul tells us. He writes, as it was his custom, he sends a greeting to those whom he is writing. And of course, he's writing to those who were in Corinth, the Christian congregation in Corinth. But he's also writing to you and to me and to all from every age who would ever read the Bible and read this message. So he's writing to those who are sanctified, verse 2 says, the church of God, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints. Who am I? Who are you? You are the church of God. We just sang it, elect and glorious. You are the church of God, sanctified by God, called to be saints. Now this has nothing to do with you. One of the things, tricks I used to trick my confirmation students with was, okay, now everyone who's a saint, raise your hand. And of course, all of them being very humble, none would raise their hand. But every believer everywhere can raise their hand when asked that question. Because that's the qualifications of what a saint is. To have faith. To be a believer. Everyone who is a believer is a saint. They are sanctified. That word sanctified means to be set apart from the sinful world. To be dedicated to God. Who does that work in our lives? God the Holy Spirit, doesn't he? Hasn't he called you out of darkness into the marvelous light of God's word? Hasn't he set you apart from the rest of the sinful world? Hasn't he, and isn't he right now dedicating you to God, your life? Of course he is. Who am I? You are a called servant of God. You are a saint set apart by the Holy Spirit from the rest of the world, dedicated to God. You're not only a saint yourself, but you're joined with all the other saints. And that's what the apostle wrote. To the church of God, which that's not one person. The church of God is the building of God's house, his every believer everywhere. The invisible church of God, invisible to our eyes, but not to his all-seeing eye. Members of the church of God believe. They have faith. That's what makes them God's children. Faith alone. They believe, and therefore they are part of the church of God. That structure that God is even now working on, not only here at St. John's, but everywhere where the Word of God is preached. Wherever people believe by faith in the forgiveness of sins in Jesus Christ, there, wherever the Word is taught and the sacraments are administered, there you will find believers. Oh yes, in some denominations, there may be accompanying false doctrine that goes along with that. But wherever faith is found, that's where believers are found. Now we're told in other verses to watch out for the false teaching, to stay away from that. But we don't think we're the only exclusive congregation of believers in the world. We're not. We are in fellowship with one another outwardly because we confess the same things. We believe, teach, confess the same things. But there is an inner fellowship we share with the entire church of God, with all those who have gone before, who are now, and will come in the future. We are tied inexplicably through the Word, through the faith that believes in the Word of God. I am joined with other believers in Christ's church. We are joint heirs. Paul says it, with all who in every place call on the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. The Lord, Jesus Christ, not only is he your Lord, but he is everyone's Lord who calls upon his name, who by faith believes in him. There are some believers in some parts of the world who worship God in a totally foreign way that would be foreign to our form of worship. They call on the same Lord. They might be speaking to him in a different language, but it's the same Lord, theirs and ours. We are called to this fellowship of saints, the communion of saints, as we confess in our Apostles' Creed. It tells us who we are, because that's an important life's question that Paul here answers. We found out we are saints. We are joined together with all who call upon the name of the Lord. Paul answers another of important life's questions when he says, why am I here? Don't we all face that question? Some more often than other times. Sometimes more often, more clearly than at other times. Why am I here? If I lose my job, I might ask myself, why am I here? If I'm a young person who can't figure out where I'm going to go to college or off to the factory to work, just can't make a decision, well, why am I here? The Lord answers. We've got an answer from Paul. I am here to use my gifts to serve God. I am here to use my gifts to serve others. Paul says, I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God, which was given to you by Christ Jesus. Do you have talents, capabilities, gifts? Of course you do. God has showered them down upon you from the moment you were born until now, and God continues to do so. You have these gifts from God, and every good and perfect gift is from above, the Bible tells us, comes down from the Father. Everything good in our lives comes from Him. He gives us abilities that sometimes we share and sometimes we don't share. He gives us talents that sometimes we share and sometimes we don't. But He has us all use them together in this house of His called the church. We are stone upon stone, knit together with the Word of God, using the gifts and talents that He gives in different proportions to different people, but for one purpose, and that is to build up His church, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone. And all of our gifts and talents and abilities coming into line with the foundation that our Savior Jesus has laid for us, that foundation of this house which no other man can go against. That's Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Paul says, the grace of God which was given to you by Christ Jesus. You are a recipient of God's grace. So if you say, why am I here? The answer is, look at all the gifts God has given you. God gives you these gifts and showers them upon you. And who can recount the gifts God has touched our lives with? In one chapter of the Bible, one at the end of the Gospels, it says, I think it's John who says, and many more miracles Jesus performed while He was here. In fact, if it were written how many miracles Jesus did, how many things Jesus did, he doubted if all the books in the world could contain them. Well, Jesus has His hand on everything, doesn't He? Every good thing that happens is from Jesus. And even the evil things that happen, Jesus controls so that they always work out for our spiritual good as He promises us. With today's memory verse, the back of the bulletin from Romans 8:7. For we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. He's made the promise, and it is true. And if it were recounted, every good thing that God does for us, who could write it down? It's everything about our lives, because we are intricately connected with the Savior. Our life is not so much I, but He. It's not so much you, but Him. It's Jesus Christ in your life. Why am I here? Jesus is working the answers through His Word, convincing you that you're here to use the gifts He's given you to serve others, to serve Him. Paul wrote later in 1 Corinthians 12, one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. Paul answers life's important questions, at least three of them. Who am I? Why am I here? And also, where am I going? Verse 7, so that you come short in no gift, eagerly waiting for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ. God has blessed you with talents, gifts, and abilities. He's made sure that you'll never come up short. You'll never be missing or lacking. Oh, sometimes you're convinced that you don't have a talent or a gift that you should have like other people. But God's promised, and He can't lie. You will come short in no gift, which causes you and I to eagerly wait for that final revelation of our Savior, when He will reveal Himself for who He truly is, Lord of all, where every knee will bow and every tongue will be made to confess Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That day is coming. It's a day closer than it was yesterday. It's a whole week closer than it was last Sunday morning when we were here. Judgment Day is coming, and we eagerly look forward to it because we know where we're going. We know we are saints. We are sanctified by the Holy Spirit, that God looks on us through the merits of His Son, Jesus Christ. And so when God sees you in your life, He doesn't see the account of deeds and sins that you've gone wrong in, but He sees Christ's perfect life. The blood that Christ shed on the cross has paid for all those times you've strayed from keeping God's perfect law. Jesus kept it in your place. So now you know where you're going. Heaven is yours. There's no doubt about it. Know where you're going, because there's another place where people go, isn't there? It's called hell. It's a real place. It has a location. It's not a nice place. Jesus describes it as a place of weeping and gnashing of teeth. The Bible tells us that there's only one way to get into hell, and that's through unbelief. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that does not believe shall be condemned. It's not because people committed a particular sin. It's not because this or that part of your life you have to pay for. That's not it at all. All of our sins, all of our deeds, all of our turning away from God and our stubborn rebellions in our past, and everything we do and commit in the future is covered by the blood of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And we believe that because God gave us the gift of faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. God creates faith and puts it on your heart so that it trusts and grasps and believes, kind of like having an extra hand. So when the Bible comes by, your faith believes it. And that's your ticket into heaven. For by grace you have been saved through faith, Ephesians 2 tells us. And that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. So if it's all on God, if it's all by His grace, then who am I? Who am I apart from Christ? Nothing. Where am I going? Apart from Christ? The wrong place. But we aren't apart from Christ. You and I are intricately tied together with our Savior. He has made us His own dear children by believing in Him, by giving us the gift of faith, sanctifying us, setting us apart from the rest of the world, so that we can answer those difficult questions that come up in our lives. Who am I? Why am I here? Where am I going? They're all answered through your Savior, Jesus Christ. Notice the I in the theme and parts. It kind of makes it subjective, doesn't it? Who am I? Why am I here? Where am I going? Does that have to do with your ego? Not really. Not when we understand that it's God who has taken care of all of this for you. Not when we understand and believe by faith that it's our Savior, Jesus Christ, who has accomplished what you and I could not, our salvation. And He's given it to us freely, and He's given us the faith to believe it. So if I give you an assignment, a literature assignment, to write a story about your life. If someone were to write a story about your life, what would they write? The who, what, the where, why, all the questions. It would all be tied up with your Savior Jesus Christ, wouldn't it? It would all reflect what Christ has done for you, continues to do, and has promised to do to bring you home to Him in heaven. These things are true. Amen.